This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
I don't want nobody else. I love you.
She's lying.
I don't want nobody else. It's true.
She's lying.
I don't want nobody else. I love you.
Why does she pretend?
Because she probably doesn't listen to the UK Tech Weekly podcast. The UK's premier audio marmite. Spread on your toast every Friday like a chat yeast extract. The UK Tech Weekly podcast is an infotainment breakfast from the editors of PC Advisor, Techworld, Macworld UK and Computerworld UK. You can find us on Acast, on SoundCloud and on iTunes. Every Friday we head to an audio boxing ring, smashing each other in the face using audio fists before spitting into an audio bucket in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed tech chat on the hot tech topics of the past seven days. Don't forget to subscribe, review and tell your friends. I'm Matt Egan, editorial director of IDG UK, and today I am delighted to be joined in conversation by the radio host with the most, Chris Martin, consumer tech editor of PC Advisor.
Hello.
The future ghost who makes the most of your listening posts, Lewis Painter, staff writer of Macworld UK.
Hello.
And the last soggy piece of toast, Scott Carey, online editor of Computerworld UK.
Hi.
This week we are talking Salesforce PR, Sony's VR, and Samsung's disaster. It's all happening. Fire. Do 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 do. Fire. Do 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 do. Chris Martin. Why are Samsung's ears burning?
Well, as you may be aware, the Samsung Galaxy Note 7, one of the best phones of this year by many people's reviews, has been discontinued due to exploding batteries.
It is an X phone.
It is an X phone.
So what's the story here? How many, I mean, because we occasionally hear these stories in the case of new phones that, you know, one of them set on fire, but this appears to be an actual real thing.
This is real. So, yeah, we've seen iPhones, other Samsung phones, even a BlackBerry, I think. You know, pretty much every brand out there has had something go wrong with a phone where it's kind of melted or exploded. And it's not good, but they have been kind of isolated incidents.
Isolated and unproven incidents.
Yeah. And but this is a proper, actual, fundamental fault with the phone where it is exploding, catching on fire, and it's not just been two or three, it's been tens. Like, I think we're easily over 50 incidents now, I think.
That's enough cases of spontaneously combusting phones, I guess. And do we know what the problem is?
No. So initially, so it launched just over a month ago. Initially, it was about 35 cases of them going wrong. So they said, okay, yeah, this is, yeah, obviously something's wrong here. We're going to replace all of them. We're doing a full recall of all Note 7s. You can take them back to the retailer. There was an exchange program, and it seemed like Samsung had handled it really well. Just admit the problem, get it sorted, keep the customers happy and safe. But then the replacement ones started going wrong, and that was like about a week ago. And over the last few days, they've been releasing statement after statement, and the situation keeps changing. And so earlier this week it was that they were halting or adjusting the production, whatever that means, while they investigate, and that they were asking global partners to stop selling them and stop exchanging them while they have a look and see what really is going wrong here. And then literally hours later, they said, no, we've discontinued the phone.
Wow. So there is a real problem. And this is, to my mind, unprecedented.
Yeah, I don't think... I'm not aware of any phone that's been completely discontinued after a month of being on sale.
I vaguely remember like some laptops had maybe Sony batteries, and they were... that some of those seem to melt, and but this was, I mean, I'm talking like a decade ago, and that was just one component, but a whole range, a flagship range of products from a company like Samsung, which is truly global, I've never come across this. And then I suppose that begs the question of, you know, mentioned earlier that Samsung was kind of doing the right thing, given that it's a disastrous situation to be in this position, but there is an argument that by just saying, right, no more, given them back and taken the hit, Samsung's actually been pretty responsible here.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, they haven't said why they've discontinued it. They've just said, you know,
right,
for customer safety, and because we don't really, I think basically because we don't know what the fault is, and they're obviously not confident they can fix it. And the longer this goes on, the more exchanges they do, the more it's costing them. So they've obviously, I think they've just decided, right, let's cut our losses. Like, let's just put this one to bed and move on.
And Samsung being the behemoth that it is one of the few companies that could actually, as much as it'll sting, actually afford to do that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Lewis? So you've been watching this closely, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, obviously. I mean, because I used the Note 5 last year. Obviously, it didn't come to the UK officially, but it was a really nice phone. So I was really excited to see the Note 7, you know, finally come back to the UK. And I saw it while it was in the office, and it was a really nice phone. You know, I'm all for iPhones, obviously. But I think if I was going to get an Android, it would have been the Note 7, which says a lot about the phone.
And what was it about it that particularly attracted
you? It's just the design, the general look of it. It's just, you know, because after, you know, Apple recycling the same design for 3 years, it's starting to get a little bit boring. Whereas Samsung, you know, they kind of switch it up every year, give you something a little bit different. And it's just, it looked really nice. It had the stylus built into it, which is always nice. And, you know, massive display, which is a bit of me.
And a really, really thin battery, which is really nice, but as it turns out, sets on fire.
I remember I'm an iPhone guy pretty much through and through, but I remember Chris actually kind of selling me on the Note 7 when we talked about it on the podcast. It looked like that and one of the Huawei phones last year actually looked like genuine competitors to the iPhone in terms of design and quality of build and things like that. So, you know, apart from the fact that it's quite large and it sets on fire, I think it's quite an impressive phone. So it's a bit unfortunate, really.
What do you think will happen to... Because Samsung is probably the only brand of phone that has, if not anything like the same sort of loyalty and fan base as iPhone, but it has a loyal fan base. Does this damage that, do you think?
I think it's got to an extent. It's just, it's anyone's guess as to how much.
Yeah.
But
$23 billion worth of stock so far.
Yeah. I just don't know how many people are going to be like, okay, I'm never getting a Samsung again because of this. Yeah. I'm sure the people who actually had exploding ones will think that. But if you just had one and you've had to go take it back because it might explode, I would have thought, you know, you're not going to be too fast.
Well, you're probably going to actively seek out the Galaxy S7 or S7
Edge. I would have thought so.
Because it's the closest thing to what you've just had to give up.
And they're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I did see a rumour yesterday, actually, saying that that Samsung are going to release a new S7 and S7 Edge with the same colour options as the Note 7. The blue one was really popular.
Yeah.
So they're going to release a blue Galaxy S7 Edge to, you know, compensate for the fact there's no more Note 7.
I mean, they're great. Like, you know, I've said it before on the pod. I'm an S7 Edge user. It's a great phone. And it's disappointing that the Note 7 is no longer out, but it doesn't remotely affect my feelings towards Samsung phones. Yeah.
It's reputational damage, isn't it?
Of course,
It's that, you know, they've got this reputation for quality of engineering, and to see something so high profile and so wide ranging, where this sort of reaches beyond just the tech press and just the tech bubble, where actually this is a sort of a national story now. Because every time you get on an aeroplane, it says, "Please, could you bring your Note 7 to the front so we can put it in a flameproof box?"
Yeah.
So everyone's quite aware of it.
It's very current. I think it'll blow over, though, won't it?
Yeah, like, it'll blow over. But I think the rivals will benefit from this because they can now put out their messaging that, you know, we we don't have exploding phones.
Yeah. And I can't wait for the next phone launch because they'll be like, it doesn't explode.
They'll be, they'll make gags, they'll make digs. Yeah. Apple will be all over this. But it'll be interesting to know what the, like, how much bigger the fallout would be if this happened to a line of iPhone. Because it would be
a bigger story, wouldn't it?
It would be a much bigger story. It'd be huge. But I think of the companies that can wear something like this reputationally and financially, those are probably two of the only ones that could.
I mean, thinking about the iPhone, I suppose the equivalent, which is nowhere near the same thing, but was the bumper issue. You know, when if you're using, I'm trying to remember the exact details, but if you're using the phone in your hand, it somehow disrupted.
It's the iPhone 4, wasn't it? The antennas were built into the sides of the phone, so if you held it,
if you held it, it stopped. Yeah. It stopped it being able to connect to the internet, and that was a huge story. And Apple had to create these bumpers, which it handed out, that actually fixed the problem, but obviously changed the design and the feel and stuff like that. They weren't setting on fire. There was just intermittent dropping out of the network. So that gives you some idea of how big a story it would be if there was this.
There's always been something with the iPhone, like the bend gate
and Hissgate
and the current ones, kind of the jet black model scratching really easily, but that's gate. Not... Yeah. The concern on the Note 7 is the fact that they don't know why it's gone wrong, and they thought they'd fixed it. And we're like, oh, everything's fine. These new ones have a different colour LED, so you know you've got the safe one. And then it's just really worrying that they thought it was fixed and it wasn't.
But this makes me slightly cynical about the whole thing. I mean, this is quite why my line of questioning at the beginning was, is it an actual issue? Because there's a lot of vested interests who would benefit from Samsung taking a hit in the market in this way. This is, you know, clearly... It does seem like the fact that we're drawing everything means there is a problem. They've discovered some kind of problem. But certainly in the beginning, when these reports were dripping out, we've seen it before. And, you know, I was cynically thinking, well, this is just, you know, the kind of tittle-tattle you get around a popular product. It turns out not to be. But we think, you know, Samsung are going to be all right, we think.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's fine. When you look at the hit of their valuation on a graph,
It looks like a pound.
But not even that bad.
Well, no,
it's a drop, but in the grand scheme, it's like
they lost 7% on the day they announced it.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous because you would imagine, you know, a smartphone manufacturer that has had to recall its flagship smartphone because it sets on fire would lose a lot more than that. But the fact is, Samsung is just beyond describably big as a company.
Yeah, they're diversified enough to deal with it. Mm-hmm.
And they're an arms manufacturer, so you don't want to cross them too much because, you know, they'll come after you with a howitzer.
With a howitzer.
They won't come after you with a howitzer. Yeah, they're also quite...
The situation will be referred to for a while, but, you know, this time next year, there'll be at least two or three other new Samsung phones that, as long as they're perfectly fine, everyone will forget.
And as long as they've got enough advertising budget to still sponsor Chelsea's football shirts, then, you know, everyone's happy.
Which they do.
Yeah.
Imagine Chelsea being associated with some sort of evil. Okay. Let's close that off by going around the room. Samsung is doomed, or Samsung will bloom. Scott Carey.
I'm kind of in the middle. I'm going to go doomed.
Lewis Payne, sir.
I'm going to go bloomed.
Chris Martin, you have the deciding vote.
You sounded really confused.
It's definitely not going to bloom.
Yeah,
after
bloom
this,
isn't
is
the right word to use, but they're going to be all right.
Yeah, Samsung will bloom.
Excellent. Okay, we'll take a very short break and then we'll come back with more chat. Do you remember when we used to sing via 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 via? Lewis. Sony's VR is here. Should we be excited?
I think we should be very excited. I mean, obviously, as someone that's into VR, I'm more excited than most, maybe.
So this is the PlayStation VR.
This is PlayStation VR. It's the first console VR headset because the Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive require a high-end PC, whereas the PlayStation VR will run on any PlayStation 4, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so this is... It feels like we've been waiting for this all year, but then I suppose it is getting towards the end of the year.
We're wrapping up now.
This is like
it's Christmas buying time.
Exactly. It's the kickoff to the Christmas buying season. It's the first I want to say, like, affordable, yeah. mainstream.
How affordable is it?
It's £349, which is £200 cheaper than the Oculus Rift and £400 cheaper than the HTC Vive.
Does that come with your pom-poms as well?
That doesn't come with the pom-poms. Oh, but the pom-poms are, well, the Move controllers, which are why you use the pom-poms, they are actually the same ones that were used with the PlayStation 3. So you can pick up PlayStation 3 Move batons for like 15, 20 quid.
Do you need online. Them?
You don't, well, it depends on the game. Yeah. Some games do require them, but I think it tells you on the box of the game if it requires Move controllers or whatever. I think you can still use your DualShock 4, but it's cool. not as good, obviously.
No, yeah.
And you also, so the you one thing is, you need the PlayStation camera, regardless of what kind of VR you want to use, but that doesn't come included.
Right, yeah, I don't have one of them either. So if I want to VR myself up this Christmas, yeah. it's going to cost me about 400 quid.
I'd say just over 400 quid. I think Zavi are offering like a bundle with the Move controllers yeah. and the camera for like 400.
And then are games priced the same as a normal game?
Some of them are cheaper. It depends on how much, you know, what it offers. Some, you know, some aren't games, some are experiences, so they're going to be a bit cheaper than like a full-blown game. And obviously... Yeah. AA games are going to be more expensive than your indie games. I think it's early days as well, but when you buy a PlayStation VR headset, you get a demo disc with like, I think it's like 18 games on it that you can have a go of. Like all, they're all launch day titles, I think.
Yeah.
So you can have a little go of them if you like them, buy the full one.
Scott, yeah. just be a really good boy and Father Christmas will provide them. But this is interesting because the fact that you have to decide whether you have the equipment to play a game speaks to the fact that there are lots of games. There are 18 games on yeah. this demo disc.
Yeah.
That's what gives any Sony gaming product the edge, because they've got
they've got the content, they've got yeah. the developers behind it. They said they're going to have over 50 out by the end of 2016.
Wow.
Which is pretty impressive, and they've got over 200 developers working on games.
And these are games titles. Written from the ground up for VR. I mean, you can't play these games unless you're using the VR.
No, yeah, yeah. I mean, some of them are add-ons to existing games. Like, there's going to be a VR experience for the upcoming Call of Duty game for PlayStation VR, where you're like dogfighting in space, which is pretty cool. You wouldn't be able to do that in the main game. But yeah, there are some that are specifically designed just for VR. Like, I think Robinson's The Journey is a VR-only game. Right. I had a little go at that at an event about a month ago, and it's so fun. I can't wait to play that one.
Yeah, I'm bang up for Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, I had a go at that as well. Yeah. Really cool. So fun.
Are there any sports games yet? Being a sports game nut.
You've got driving games?
Yeah.
Do you count driving games as a sport?
No, but that's a different conversation.
Oh, but yeah, no, they've got you've got Drive Club VR, which is... Drive Club's been out for, I think, a year or two now on PlayStation 4. I think it's a free update to add the VR support to it. So you're sat in the car racing it, obviously. Yeah. But the thing about Drive Club and games like that, driving games on PlayStation generally, is that they're really gorgeous looking. You know, the graphics on driving games are always immaculate. And whereas the PlayStation VR headset isn't quite as high resolution as other headsets, you kind of lose some of that magic, you know, some of the graphics when you put in headset on. But at the same time, what can you really expect from, you know, a console?
Yeah.
You know, consoles are never, you know, at the top end of gaming if you want that high-end kind of feel, you go for a PC.
I do think sports games in VR are fascinating, like, especially the ones where...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
where it's just a single player. So like a Tiger Woods golf in VR would be game changing.
And it'll
probably happen. Yeah.
You know, or even like it doesn't have to be games, like experiences.
They've got,
you know, could you experience what it was like to be on the pitch with your favourite team in their most recent game?
Yeah, and to be, I was watching the Arizona Cardinals TV program, and their quarterback uses VR to watch game film so that he can like basically relive situations.
I was a bit cynical about that.
I was a bit.
That bit was like slotted into the program, and Carson's there, and he's like, "Yeah, it really helps me to make decisions." And I was like, "Okay, I can, you know, I can see the branding on that device."
Yeah.
But you can see, but it's a good example of how it would work, because that hit at that moment. First of all, he can't practice without taking the risk of getting smashed by a 300-pound guy. And it's all about constantly repeating the process of looking around and making decisions and then acting on those decisions. So, yeah, you can completely see how that would be.
Yeah, I just think it's genuinely interesting, because for people like us who where American football is basically an impossible game to play in the UK, it's very, very niche to be able to sort of put that into virtual reality would be hugely compelling. So
if you could see a version of Football Manager where you
just
in
walk
VR,
up and down the sideline,
go home,
put a suit
you know, have dinner with your spouse, maybe get invited to a dodgy meeting and say some, you know, things you shouldn't say, and then lose your job. You know, you could maybe think, overthinking that slightly too much. So to go back to the serious point you're making, Lewis, in a way then, what we're saying here is the PlayStation VR is the PlayStation to Oculus Rift's gaming PC sort of thing, is it? So PlayStation VR will be, we expect, mass market. There'll sell loads of these things. There'll be loads of game support. Probably isn't quite the pinnacle of the experience that you might get from something like Oculus, but...
But I mean, even with that, you know, if you're that concerned with the premium experience, you can opt to get the PlayStation 4 Pro when it comes out next month. You know, that's going to provide a higher quality VR experience than the standard PlayStation will.
Right.
Because it's much more powerful. But I mean, Xbox is rumoured to have a VR have VR support, but not until Project Scorpio comes out in about a year.
I forgot about Scorpio.
Good old Scorpio. But the issue with that is that rumours suggest that the headset won't come bundled with the device, much like PlayStation's one.
Right.
But they're not developing their own one. They're going to use something that's already out, which to me suggests it's going to be the Oculus Rift.
Yeah, you'd think so.
It seems really weird when they've got like the HoloLens.
I know, yeah.
And like, you know, surely they can do something for console that is way less techie than the HoloLens.
But then,
and it could be really good.
I'm just thinking about Microsoft's overall strategy, which they don't really want to be in hardware.
No.
And they want things to sort of measure, things to match up, if you know what I mean. So they'd rather someone else was doing the hardware and people were in their world. They want Xbox actually to be kind of like a PC experience, but that's just blended into your life. Mm-hmm. So it sort of makes sense that they wouldn't go all out to make their own, in a way that Sony will want you to use PlayStation VR and no other device. Mm-hmm. Microsoft a bit more, brand agnostic in that sense. It's quite happy for you to be in its world, I suppose.
And I think it makes a lot of sense, because obviously you've got the Xbox Play Anywhere thing now, so you can play your games across Xbox One and PC, select games anywhere, and it syncs your progress, etc. So, you know, developers writing VR games for PC, it will be so much easier to port them to the Xbox One if you're using the same hardware. And it's just, it means that people that have an Oculus Rift don't have to fork out for another headset.
Yeah, because if it's a straight fight between Xbox and PlayStation, they have to develop a VR headset right now. But I think it's a bit more subtle than that. I think Xbox is a way for Microsoft to have people using its software products.
Yeah.
And that's its kind of long-term goal.
But it still must make quite a bit of money
off
the
it's
Xbox
a huge cash cow for
hardware. Which is why I figured if you did a decent VR headset, you'd make some money. You don't have to make hardware for everything, but it's a good area for them.
It's also one of the few things that people genuinely love that Microsoft make.
Yeah.
And they have fans. Yeah. Really, you know, so it is a slightly weird one, because a company that size, you would think they could basically reverse engineer the PlayStation headset and knock one out in 6 months and just you know, price it so it shifts. I mean, I think the Sony PlayStation VR pricing is interesting because it's tiered in that way, because you described all the things you have to add on, but you still, the way it's described is it's whatever, 350 quid,
350 quid,
which is a lot of money, but it feels
more
affordable.
Yeah.
It helps that they've got the comparison of the perspective to the Vive and the Oculus.
Yeah. I think they've played this brilliantly because all year long people have been saying, oh, that's interesting, Oculus is interesting, Vive's interesting, PlayStation VR is coming. And they've spent that time, I'm sure the headset itself was done months ago, but it's making sure it's come out for the Christmas buying season at a relatively affordable price, and there will be so many games available for it. It just makes Oculus look a bit tricky to use and expensive, and I don't know where Vive is. I don't know, you tell me, Lewis, what's your view of the market right now?
I mean, I'm a bit confused about Oculus. Whereas I was originally a massive fan of Oculus, they've kind of confused themselves a little bit, because you got £550 for the headset, and now they've just announced their touch controllers, which are their handheld controllers, which are another £189.
And you
need
a killer PC to use it.
And you need a high end PC, which is at least going to cost you £600-700. But then that brings it to essentially the same price as a HTC Vive,
right?
But the Rift still doesn't offer room scale movement,
right?
So, you know, if you're looking for the handheld controllers and all that kind of stuff as well, the Vive is probably the best option for you. But then again, PlayStation offers handheld controllers and basic movement for £350.
And what's the game support like for the HTC and the Oculus?
Oculus loves an exclusive. They've put a lot of money into making, you know, some VR games exclusive to their platform. Maybe not indefinitely, but they would at least have an exclusivity period.
Apart from the developers that have said that they're not going to make games for Oculus anymore.
Well, exactly.
Apart from that drama.
Because Oliver Lucky is a bell end.
Strong.
Moving on from that. But it's a little bit awkward because Oculus has Oculus Home, which is their app store, essentially, where you can find all the Oculus games. But then you can also find Oculus games on Steam alongside HTC Vive games.
Yep.
But then you can't, as someone with a HTC Vive, go on the Oculus store and buy games on there because they won't work. It's just a bit...
And that's because Oculus won't allow that to happen.
Yeah, okay, well, Oculus says they're happy for it to happen. HTC says Oculus aren't happy for it to happen. It's just politics. Mm.
Interesting. Okay, well, let's close this off by going around the room and saying PlayStation or Naystation. Scott Carey.
PlayStation, always.
Lewis Painter.
Always PlayStation.
And Chris.
Still never had a PlayStation, but PlayStation.
PlayStation. That's a big thumbs up for PlayStation. Okay, we'll take a short break for refreshments, and then we'll be back in 2 seconds. Dreams. Dream, 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 dream. Scott Carey. I feel a disturbance in the force. What's that all about?
That's real, real mixed messages going through there.
Want to keep you on your toes?
To bring them together, knit them together. Dream force.
Dream and force.
Yeah. So last week, the week before, I was over in San Francisco for Dreamforce, which is... by most measures, the biggest tech conference on the planet. 170,000 registered guests is the figure that Salesforce give you. But it's been running for about 14 years now, and this was my first one. But it's, by all measures, grown way beyond what it was originally set up to do, which was to bring together Salesforce customers and developers to chat shop, which is software as a service, CRM software.
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? There's an event to which hundreds of thousands of people are attending, and it's all about Salesforce, which to most people is like it's the customer relationship management software. It's, if they know of it at all, it's a thing they use at work to find email addresses or...
Yeah, to be completely honest, most people that I talk to about Salesforce don't even realise they use it. Like, it's salespeople, it's marketers. It's just something that they get inducted to when they join their job, and it's like, this is the software we use.
Yeah. This is where you find who to call or follow up with your clients. But, it, I mean, it's amazingly successful software. It's amazingly powerful. It fuels a lot of businesses.
Yeah.
And Salesforce is still independent, right? It's not...
Yeah, it's still independent. So Mark Benioff set it up about 15 years ago when he left Oracle, I believe. And he, yeah, I mean, it's a huge B2B tech story in terms of how much they've grown. They are the biggest CRM vendor in the world now. And they are basically starting to compete with Microsoft, SAP, Oracle in terms of sheer scale, and that is just, you know, with one piece of software as opposed to lots of others. So they're an impressive company in that sense.
And you mentioned Microsoft there. Microsoft made the recent purchase of LinkedIn.
Yes.
Which again was, I mean, there were a lot of rumors, you said this yourself, that they were interested in buying Salesforce. Salesforce is big enough to hold them off, essentially.
Yeah.
And so LinkedIn was kind of, we think, the second choice for Microsoft in terms of just getting together all this data on professional people, which is a huge business.
Salesforce are really bitter about losing it. Like, they, like Benioff came out and he's been, he's accusing, well, he's saying that he might be trying to get Microsoft in trouble with regulators, because if they try and like close off all that LinkedIn data, then that would be anti-competitive. He's saying there's definitely some sour grapes there. He said he bid more money, but that the bidding process was skewed towards Microsoft.
Okay, so they wanted to buy LinkedIn.
They made a huge bid for LinkedIn, actually more money. The problem with Salesforce, they don't have as much cash as someone like Microsoft. They've got a lot of stock. So LinkedIn decided to go with the cash.
I tend to do that.
And now, yeah, and now the Salesforce are very heavily rumoured to be in the market to buy Twitter, which someone at Dreamforce said to me was like going home with the second best looking girl at the dance.
Not even the second best. That, if you went for LinkedIn and then got Twitter, that is, yeah. So we're facing some blank looks across the table. So I thought I'd jazz up this section.
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk a little bit more
about... I love CRM, something or other.
No, I wanted to talk a little bit more about Dreamforce in itself, because it has, like, great... This is the funny thing, is it's, like, it's... When you go, it basically feels like it's not got much to do with CRM. Like, they do talk about their products a lot, but also you've got people doing tons of networking. You've got tons of people doing business there, and you've got a huge rock concert on the Wednesday. You've got parties every night. The whole downtown area of San Francisco around the Moscone is basically gridlock traffic because Dreamforce just takes over. There's signs everywhere. Everyone's got their badges on. It feels like that corner of the city is just there for Dreamforce.
I'm going to throw some. I'm going to throw some words at you.
Go on.
Exciting words. I don't know what they mean, but I gleaned them from the coverage, from your coverage of Dreamforce. Einstein.
So this is their move into artificial intelligence and machine learning, which is what everyone is trying to do at the moment. It's trying to basically give their customers like recommendations. So it's like, this person opened their email, you should probably ping them another message now to like give them an offer. And automating all those sort of things.
Not the dog from Back to the Future then?
Unfortunately not. But it has got a nice fluffy cartoon avatar that looks like Albert Einstein, which was walking around. They had like a physical one walking around the Dream Park and lots of people were taking selfies with him. This is how ridiculous Dreamforce is. There was also a big fluffy like cloud with the word software with a big X through it. And people were taking selfies with him as well.
Amazing.
And they've got another one called Astro, and I don't really know what his story is.
Quip.
Quip was an acquisition that Salesforce made last year. It is basically... like Dropbox Paper or something like Google Docs, where you get your whole team live collaborating on documents. Salesforce made £6 billion worth of acquisitions last year, and that was one of them.
Wow.
They went on a big spending spree.
And then I've got Thunder and Lightning.
Thunder and Lightning. Yeah, Thunder is their... this is like a test. It's their IoT cloud. So they're doing Internet of Things. And then Lightning is their app development platform. So they do... a lot of things.
So there's a lot going on there. And also, I believe, Bonio and The Hedge and the other portly members of U2 rocks up.
Yeah, the Wednesday night was really where it hit home how ridiculous Dreamforce can get to me, because everyone talks about the concert. There's always a big concert on the Wednesday night. It was the Foo Fighters last year. It was the Killers the year before. These are all rumoured to be Benioff's favourite bands, which isn't surprising.
There's a trend there, definitely.
Yeah, and this year it was U2. And one thing you get with Dreamforce is you get the tech and the sales and all that, but you also get loads of philanthropy and giving back. It's a real Silicon Valley trend. It's like, we give 1% back all the time. And Benioff is a big like exponent of RED, which is Bono's AIDS foundation, do a lot of research into that. And then he does a lot of other philanthropy on the side. So when you hire Bono for your concert, you know what you're going to get. You're not just going to get Where the Streets Have No Name.
Bono, play some songs. No, I want to hector you about world debts.
So he opened his set. So firstly, it's in this huge rave venue in Daly City, and it felt like a festival. Like, there was snaking queues to get in. They were bussing people in. I would have guessed there was like tens of thousands of people there. It was absolutely huge. And then Bono comes on, plays a couple of like their newer songs. Everyone's like, okay, fine. Then he starts playing videos on the screen of Donald Trump speeches and starts interrogating him live on stage, screaming at him, "So you want to build a wall, Donald?" To which the crowd lapped this up.
Yeah.
And then
he's playing to a fairly friendly audience.
A friendly captive audience, yeah. There of people who are fairly well off in the tech sector.
Educated.
Yeah.
Not massive idiots.
And then, yeah, so you get the songs, but you also get some anti-Trump speech, and you get a lot of pro-red and sort of talking about San Francisco being at the forefront of the AIDS crisis in the 80s, and you get all of that as the single package. And it's quite funny because the rest of the band members always look a bit awkward when Bono starts doing this.
Oh,
he'd always like shout about Edge, and then Edge is just like, oh, just let me wear my hat and play my songs.
Yeah.
Sounds bizarre.
It's odd. Yeah. It's genuinely quite a disorientating experience. And it's not cheap. Like, if you pay for a full pass, it's about $2,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, let's close it off by going around the room. Dreamforce or Scabby Horse? Scott Carey.
Dreamforce.
Lewis Painter.
Dreamforce.
Chris Martin.
Some kind of horse.
Good. There was a bit too much consensus in this podcast so far. Good. Well, thanks, guys, and thank you for listening to this edition, listener. Do get in touch and let us know your thoughts and opinions and to shake us down for cash. You can tweet us at UK Tech Podcast or email editor@idg.co.uk. We'll be back next week with more informed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. So until then, find us on Acast, iTunes, SoundCloud, and all those other podcasty places. Subscribe and review us and tell your friends. Until then, from the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, say goodbye, guys.
See you.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.